Go with me, if you would, back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I had already felt led to be here and was already preparing a message from this whenever I heard Monday morning of our brother's declining condition, and I felt confirmed that this was where we needed to be tonight. Our message is really going to come from verse 17, but let's begin reading in verse 15 to the end of the chapter. It says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For the which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." He said in verse 17, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What a verse that is. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I've titled this message, Light Affliction and Eternal Glory. Light affliction and eternal glory. That's what God's people can expect from this life and the life that is to come. Light affliction and eternal glory. Our Lord has plainly told us that the life that we live here on this earth will be a life of affliction. And when we look at these things, we are helped. We are comforted. We are encouraged. We realize, oh yes, things are going exactly like they're supposed to. Our Lord has told us it's going to be a life of affliction. So we're not surprised when it comes. We're not surprised at all when we see it come. Let me just quote some scriptures to you. Job 14:1 says, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." In John 6:33, our Lord said, "In the world you shall have tribulation." 1 Peter 5, verse 10 says that our Lord will make us perfect, and He will establish us, and He will strengthen us, and He will settle us after we suffer a while. After we suffer a while. That's just how it is. That's how it's going to be. Here on this earth, for all of mankind, and that's what I want us to realize, this applies to all of mankind. It applies to those who are not God's chosen people. And it applies to those who are God's chosen people. All of mankind will suffer affliction. Everyone suffers affliction. And it's real. It is real affliction. It comes in different forms. It comes in different degrees. But it's a real affliction for all of mankind. No one is exempt. Sickness runs through all of mankind. Heartache, trouble, it runs through all of mankind. No one is exempt. But for God's people, and that's who we're going to focus on, It's this way for all of mankind. But for God's people, God's particular people, those who have been called to a knowledge of Christ. That's what we've been called to. A knowledge of Christ. A real knowledge of who the Lord Jesus Christ really is. What a blessing it is to know who the Lord Jesus Christ really is. God manifest in the flesh, you know. Those who know what He truly accomplished for His people. Aren't you so thankful that we have been told and given a revelation of knowing what He truly accomplished for His people? Those who worship God in the Spirit, I mean worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have absolutely no confidence in the flesh at all. Those who say, and they mean it, they say, any work before God that is performed by me, I count it all dumb. I just count it all dumb. I plead the work in the blood of Christ alone. That's who we're going to focus on. God's people. For God's people who receive afflictions just like everybody else, no matter how devastating the affliction may be, and they can be. Devastating. I mean life-altering, devastating. Life is never the same. No matter how great the sorrow is, and it can be great. I mean, it can be so great. No matter how heavy the burden is, it can be so heavy. For God's people, all of their affliction is light affliction. It's all light affliction. And I want to make it very clear, in saying light affliction, it can be devastating. Devastating. It can be a weight that no child of God could possibly bear. Just incredible, incredible sorrow. But for all of God's people, it's light. Light affliction. Resting and believing and trusting in God's sovereignty in whatever this affliction is that comes, just in knowing that God is sovereign over it. Resting in God's sovereignty over it. You know, the Lord in mercy brings us back to the Word. He brings us back to the Word. We get out there and He brings us back to the Word, and we remember God is sovereign over all these things. Resting and believing and trusting in His providence and His purpose in all of these things. Everything is on purpose. Everything has a purpose. Knowing that He's for us and He's purposed to bring good to us in all things. Knowing that and believing that and trusting that. That causes us to consider all of our afflictions from His hand to be light. Easy? No. But light. Absolutely overwhelming at times? Yes. But light. Can the heartache be heartbreaking? Absolutely. But it's still light. And here's the reason why, okay? And I hope this will be a real help. I hope this will be a sincere help for anyone who ever endures any type of affliction or trial or pain or sorrow. Here's the reason why. Five reasons to be exact. I want to give you five reasons. I read something that a man wrote who was commenting on this scripture. And he gave these five reasons why God's people consider their afflictions to be light. And these are five good reasons. And I want to pass them along to you. When I read these, I thought, that's so. That's right. Five reasons why God's people consider their afflictions to be light. Number one, they are light compared to what we deserve. And that's not just a doctrine. That's not just the doctrine of total depravity. I know me, and you know you. And the afflictions that have come to us are so light compared to what we deserve. They are so, so light compared to what we deserve. You know what we deserve? Judgment. That's what we deserve. Immediate, swift judgment. We deserve wrath from God because of our sin against Him. That's what we deserve. But do you know what He delights to show? Mercy to sinners against Him. Mercy because of the blood of the Lamb, His Lamb. Because of His mercy and His grace to us, the afflictions that we have received for who we are and what we are, they are so light compared to what we deserve. Just so light. Turn with me over to Psalm 103. Boy, this is one precious portion of Scripture right here. Psalm 103, verse 10 says, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. Because of His mercy and His grace toward us, our afflictions are so light compared to what we deserve. He has not dealt with us according to what we deserved. He dealt with Christ. All right, here's the second reason why God's people consider their afflictions to be light. They are light compared to what other believers have had to suffer for the gospel's sake. They are so light. When we get to thinking, you know, this is just more than I can bear. This is, you just remember this. You think about some of the old saints in the Old Testament, the things that they endure, like Job. Think about Job. The point being, the Lord's grace was sufficient for Job. That's the point of it. Think about what some of the saints in the New Testament had to endure, like Paul. How many shipwrecks? How many times was he beaten? How many times was he stoned? How many times was he in prison? And the Lord's grace was sufficient for him. Think about what the martyrs had to endure to take a stand for the Word of God, for us to hold a copy of this Word, burned at the stake. Go with me, if you would, to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, the end of this chapter, speaks of the victories that came to believers, these amazing things that came to believers, and then it speaks of the great trials that came to believers. Verse 35 says, women received their dead raised to life again. And, it goes on to say, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Think about Bunyan was in prison for 12 years. He could get out anytime he wanted to come out. All he had to do was renounce this God and this gospel and this word. And he said, I can't do it. Verse 36, others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder. They were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Our afflictions are so light. They are so light compared to what many believers have had to suffer for the gospel's sake. So they're light compared to what we deserve. And they're light compared to what so many other brethren have had to endure for the truth's sake. All right, here's the third reason. And it's, I don't even believe the word light ought to be included in this. But to stay with our text, they are so light compared to what the Lord Jesus Christ suffered for our sins. Our sins. Our afflictions that we bring on ourselves because of our own sin. Our sufferings are so light compared to what Christ suffered for our sins. No man ever suffered like he did. No man ever suffered the unmerciful, unbridled wrath of God Almighty. No holding back. Not for himself, but for another. No man suffered like that. Isaiah 53 says, he bore our griefs and he carried our sorrows. And because of that, it says he was stricken, smitten of God. You think about that, smitten of God and afflicted. He was afflicted. He was afflicted. He was the man who saw affliction. He was the man who saw affliction. So compared to the affliction that he bore, we don't have any. We honestly do not have any. Look with me, if you would, at 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter 2, verse 19, it says, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongly. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. What he's saying is, if you did something wrong and you are punished for it, and you just take the punishment, you were owed that. But if you didn't do the wrong and you were punished and you take it patiently, he said that's acceptable with God. Verse 21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins, meaning he removed them from us, we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. What light afflictions we have. He bore them all for us and returned us to the shepherd and bishop of our souls and covered us in his righteousness. We have none. We have none. Compared to the affliction that he endured for us, we don't have any. Here's the fourth reason. Fourth reason why believers would confess that their afflictions are light. They are light compared to the blessings that we have in Christ right now here on this earth. Our afflictions are right now here on this earth. And compared to the blessings that have been given to us, right now, here on this earth, all of our afflictions are light. They're light. The Spirit of God, His Holy Spirit, has convinced us. This is a blessing given to us. He has convinced us that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And we believe it. When the Spirit comes, He will convince men. And we've been convinced. And we forget it from time to time, but He will reconvince us. The Spirit has convinced us that every spiritual blessing that there is to have in heavenly places, we have it in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit has convinced us of that. The Spirit has convinced us that we are accepted in Christ, the Beloved. The Spirit has convinced us of that. We are accepted in Him. We are forgiven in the blood. The Spirit has convinced us of that. We have rest because of that. That's the reason why we have rest. We are complete in Him. That's the reason why we have rest in our heart. We're complete in Him. The peace of God rules in our hearts. The struggle of the flesh is at war with it, but the peace of God rules in the end. The peace of God rules in our hearts. We've been given the gospel. We have been given the gospel. Not the message of man's works. We've been given the message of good news. The message of comfort. The message that Christ has already finished everything. We've been given the fellowship of brotherly love. We've been given a knowledge of Christ. That's what we said we've been called to, this knowledge of Christ. We've been given a knowledge of Christ. We've been given eyes of faith to look on Him. Ears of faith to hear Him. Heart of faith to believe Him. What great blessings these are. Great, great blessings. But the blessings are not only spiritual blessings, they're also physical blessings too. We are not forsaken or begging bread. We have roofs over our heads, clothes on our back, food on our tables. Where does all that come from? It comes from Him. He gives it to us. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. We take it for granted. Where does it come from? Well, I got up and I went to work and I earned my paycheck and I paid my bills. That's not so. The air to breathe, the mind to think, the body to do, the health to do, all of it is of Him. Just look at all the abundance that he's given to us. It far outweighs the affliction that has come our way. Our affliction is so light compared to what we deserve. It honestly is. It is so light compared to what other believers have had to suffer for the gospel's sake. What blasphemy it would even be to try to compare it to the sufferings of Christ for us. It's non-existent compared to the sufferings of Christ for us. And when you compare our afflictions to the blessings that we have received from His hand, the hand of our God, they are so light. They're just so light. All right, here's the last reason that was mentioned. Just like the rest of them, it's so true. They are light compared to the eternal weight of glory that is at the end of them. They are so light. Go back to our text, 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 15. And just see if the Lord will let you hear this and enter into this. Verse 15 says, "All things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." I would love for, just like the Apostle Paul did, I'd love for our brother Roy to come back down and stand up and tell us, "I couldn't even describe to you what I have seen. I could not begin to describe what I've heard. The eternal weight of glory." Eternal weight of glory. We say that, we can't enter into it. We don't know what it means. Everything here, though, is so temporary, and everything there is so permanent. It is an eternal weight. Not something that can be blown away. Everything here is just so sinful and it's just so wretched. Everything there is so pure and so righteous. Everything there is so pure. It's just so righteous. It's so holy. Everything here, and I do mean everything here, is covered with sorrow and pain. Everything there is covered with glory. Everything there is just covered with the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. The next time that you feel a temporary weight, a temporary burden of affliction that will come, the next time that you feel it, it will come. Just remember the eternal weight of glory that is coming so soon. It's coming so soon. Revelation 21 says, "In that eternal glory, God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." All that will be left is an eternal weight of Christ. He's the glory. That's all that will be left. An eternal weight of glory. I want to read you something that I've read to you before. Charles Spurgeon wrote this, and he titled it, "Why Go I Mourning?" from Psalm 42:9. Why am I so sad? Why am I so sad? I just love this. "Why go I mourning? Canst thou answer this believer? Canst thou find any reason why thou art so often mourning instead of rejoicing? Why yield to gloomy anticipations? Who told thee that night would never end in day? Who told thee that the sea of circumstance would ebb out till there should be nothing left but long leagues of the mud of horrible poverty? Who told thee that the winter of thy discontent would proceed from frost to frost, from snow and ice and hail to deeper snow and yet more heavy tempest of despair? Knowest thou not that day follows night, that flood comes after ebb, that spring and summer succeed to winter? Hope thou then. Hope thou ever, for God fails thee not. Dost thou not know that thy God loves thee in the midst of all this? Mountains, when in darkness hidden, are as real as in day. And God's love is as true to thee now as it was in thy brightest moments. No father chastens always. Thy Lord hates the rod as much as thou dost. He only cares to use it for that reason which should make thee willing to receive it, namely that it works thy lasting good. Thou shalt yet climb Jacob's ladder with the angels and behold him who sits at the top of it, thy covenant God. Thou shalt yet, amidst the splendors of eternity, forget the trials of time, or only remember them to bless the God who led thee through them and wrought thy lasting good by them. Come sing in the midst of tribulation. Rejoice even while passing through the furnace. Make the wilderness to blossom like the rose. Cause the desert to ring with thine exalting joys, for these light afflictions will soon be over, and then, forever with the Lord, thy bliss shall never wane. Once this is all over, the bliss and eternal weight of glory will never go away. Never go away. If the Lord will let us keep our eyes on the eternal weight of glory, Christ Himself, everything down here will be a light affliction. Things are tough. They are sorrowful. They are heavy. But once we see Him, it's a light affliction. It honestly is. And that comfort will get us through the trial every time. It'll get us through the trial. May the Lord comfort our hearts for Christ's sake. All right, let's all stand together.